You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. We remain in the Gospel of Mark in that part where the disciples are trying to figure out exactly who they are in relationship to Jesus and to the world. Last Sunday, we heard the story of how two of the disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest among us?" And Jesus' reply last week was to remind them that the Son of Man must suffer and die and be raised on the third day, and that the one who is the greatest servant of all is the greatest of all. A kind of turning upside down of our normal way of thinking in the world. And now Mark takes us one step further. Having determined that in fact the disciples were not the greatest, now they're worried. Because someone, it says, someone is casting out demons in your name, Jesus. And he's not one of us. Not part of the inner circle. Has not passed the ordination exam. Has not received the final certification from the ELCA. Does not have his preaching and healing license, and there this person is. Throwing out demons. Not one of us. It's not a surprising development. So often we limit the circle of who can do the work of God. I would submit, as I think Jesus does in our gospel today, that the more we draw a circle and circumscribe who can represent God, the less likely we are to represent God. One of the unfortunate developments over the last 2,000 years, and I hesitate to say this because it's how I make my living, but one of the problems, probably one of the greatest problems that we have faced within the church, is that we decided to have clergy. Now, there are good things about it. Frankly, there are some good things about making sure that people are educated, and the Lutherans have done a great job of making sure that the clergy are educated, qualified. They have to be checked up by a psychiatrist, you know. I know because I help a lot of people go through the process of becoming a pastor, and it's not easy, as I tell them from the very beginning. I usually start by telling them that they have just ruined the next 5 years of their life. Well, you know, Cain, you got to dissuade them somehow. But the problem is that once having qualified, once having laid the stole, been in the certain circle of who can represent God, suddenly now someone can't. Someone else shouldn't. Or at least that's how we understand it. So that ministry, in its worst form, becomes the job of the clergy. Something it was never intended to be. And so Jesus replies to the disciples something that I think is really important. And it's important, the difference between the way that Mark tells this story and the way that Matthew tells this story. Jesus says, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." Usually about now I talk about how I think of Mark as the optimist. What is the usual way that you hear that phrase? Whoever is not for us is against us. That's what we usually hear. And that's what Matthew says. But Mark says, whoever is not against us is for us. That's what Mark says. That seems closer to what Jesus would say. It doesn't circumscribe around the disciples and Jesus and the faithful and the ordained and the chosen. All things good. But just that little switch recognizes your power, your responsibility, your opportunity as ministers of Christ. Every one of you. Over the last 2 years, we've talked a lot about the rebirth, or at least the need of rebirth for the church. I'm not sure that we're capable of a rebirth, but in the spirit of what's happening today at LCH, we might be ready for a rebaptism, although we don't even believe in it. Right? Or at the very least, easy there. Some of you are going, well, why not? Or at least a reaffirmation of our baptism and our baptismal vows. Maybe we need again to see water poured and oil laid. Maybe once again we need to hear from one another that God has called each of us into ministry. And maybe we need the reminder that the whole world is not necessarily against us, nor we against the world. As part of our Bible study on Thursday, someone said that they had recorded all of the various, Colbert, all the pseudo news folks, right? All the fun. I love all of those. I really do. And as they watched each one of them, what they said is there seems to be a conspiracy. And I said, what? They said every single one of them decided to take this week to trash Christians. And me, being my glib self, said, well, it was probably our turn. But they were really offended. And I could see it, because as you know, Christians tend to get all lumped into one giant homogenous group. We're all alike. Which is, of course, as unjust as it can be. But I encouraged this person not to worry about it, because tomorrow someone else would be their target. And fortunately, Americans have approximately a 23-second attention span. So it shouldn't be a problem. But what is a problem is when we stop seeing ourselves as God's people in every moment. When we turn over ministry to the professionals, we lose something profound and important, transformational, and life-giving. Everyone is salted. Everyone has salt, and salt is good. And maybe when we turn over our faith to the professionals, salt really does lose its flavor. As we look into the next few years, it may be that we need to again renew our baptismal vows, as I said earlier, to have water poured over us and to be washed from our assumptions, to see and smell and live more clearly the mission that God is calling us into the world, to cut loose the bonds that keep us from doing ministry in a world with such great need. In a little while, we will pour water on two young children. and we will dedicate them to a God who will love them through everything. Through everything. And later, when they come to the age of confirmation, and if they, like many kids do, say, I'm not sure I believe any of this, which, by the way, is 50% of my confirmands at this time, I know this. God will love them anyway. And so will we. Jesus was walking with the disciples, and when they saw someone else casting out demons, they found themselves afraid, worried, asking Jesus, what should we do? And Jesus reminds them, nothing at all. For the ministry of God belongs neither to me nor to you, but to all of God's people equally. And so let us celebrate that gift of God that pours down from us in grace and be God's shepherds and God's ministers in a world with great and enduring need, that the graceful word of Christ might reign forever. Amen. Although it may be a little bit out of order in your bulletins at home, despite four emails, we will continue now with the hymn of the day. You are asked to rise and by your spirit to rise for the hymn of the day.